Humanism is not Christianity, is what Holy Spirit wants to explain today. And the reason this is such an important topic is because humanism, which I'm actually going to define for everyone so that you won't be confused, because there's a lot of terms that are bandied about, and humanism is one of them, and sometimes people can get very, very confused. Now, I've actually looked up the origins of it, and Renaissance humanism is one name. They have a lot of adjectives that go before humanism. There's a particular types of humanism. Renaissance humanism occurred at the end of the Middle Ages, and it asserted that humans could determine for themselves, this is a quote, could determine from themselves truth from falsehood. So obviously it is completely ignoring, denying, and eliminating God. He's not even necessary. If you can determine it for yourself, you don't need him, obviously. There is another type of humanism. There's several, actually. There's secular, there's religious. One is called Christian humanism, and I thought that was the ultimate oxymoron, Christian humanism. This is a quote from their own explanation of what they believe. It is a philosophy advocating self-fulfillment of man within the framework of Christian principles. Self-fulfillment of man is not even within the framework of Christian principles, so it is completely opposed to Christianity. But it's called Christian humanism. Now, those that are self-professed humanists, this is not necessarily Christian humanists, which is an utter lie. The entire label is a lie, because it's about self, and it's about fulfillment of self. Christianity is completely in opposition to fulfillment of self. In fact, your self is dead. So who can fulfill a dead person? But this is the self-defined humanism. Those who profess that they are humanists, they say, this is their comment, it's a progressive philosophy of life that without supernaturalism affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. Now that just sounds wonderful to most people. Wow, that's about people being good, for the greater good, doing what is right. You cannot choose righteousness without him. There is a form. I mean, we have human rights. We have organizations that are specifically designed because of ethics, human ethics. But you will always come to the limit line, because human beings, number one, are not free agents. We are supernatural. We are spiritual beings. We have an eternal life. Whether that eternal life is spent in separation from God, or whether that eternal life is spent in union, we are eternal beings. So to deny and negate any supernatural aspect of a human being is to say that humanity has no need for God, definitely does not need to defer to him, and has no connection whatsoever. Now those people won't be connected to him, and those people will be eternally damned. That's the truth. That's the reality. Now, the reason that Holy Ghost wants to talk about humanism in itself as a issue in the body is because so much of it is infused into the body now of practices that happen within Christendom. You will have ministries that are so self-directed, to the degree that you'll have ministries called deliverance ministries, healing ministries, quote unquote. And their biggest focus is not God, but the devil. Because humanism will always lead to the devil. Because humanism always is about self. Self always leads to Satan. That's what happened in the garden, and it happens today. So it's not some cute little thing that we can just deny, or we can say, oh, that happens in the world, or you can hear a news story about it. It actually is penetrated. It is leaven, and it's leavening the whole lump. And he wants it completely cleansed. Those that are of the true body, the true bride, he makes a distinction because there is an apostate. There is a false bride, there is those that profess Christ but do not live as Christians, do not live according to his will and purpose. And if what they're saying, I mean, just this description of Christian humanism, a philosophy advocating self-fulfillment of man within the framework of Christian principles, it's Christianity is not to do with the self-fulfillment of man. It's the fulfillment of the will of God. You cannot have a Christian humanist. There's no such thing. It's a lie. And he's wanting to dismantle it and reveal it for what it is. Because what does he say? That we are not to be partakers of the darkness, but rather expose the works of darkness. And he does that. He exposes darkness so that the body will not walk and become entangled in that darkness. What's happened already is I've recently dealt with many people in particular who've needed deliverance in some form or another. Now, deliverance is a hot little topic, and there are people that do deliverance ministries. I was ministering to someone this week, several people this week, for deliverance. Now, their idea of deliverance is that it's going to take hours upon hours, days upon days, perhaps months upon months. You're going to have to return to the person that, you know, is doing this ministry or who's ministering to you to deliver you. And in the meantime, you're going to go through all this processing. That is not deliverance by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not deliver where it took him days, weeks, and months to see someone set free. He usually did it in a word, or very few words, maybe a phrase. Now, many of us wouldn't know how to do it that way, but we can ask Holy Ghost, how do I minister this so that it's quickly, the person is quickly set free? Rather than it being, I'm going to do it this way because this is what so-and-so taught me. They even have schools of deliverance, as they have schools of prophecy. As if God has nothing to do with it. I'm going to teach you my way, but I'll say that it's from God because, you know, God spoke to me in the night, or God said this, or I'm going to twist a scripture in a certain way. The truth is many of these ministries are not run by God. And especially, one of the key ways that you know that is if the focus is on the devil, you can pretty much be sure that he's running it. Because Jesus Christ did not run around talking about the devil 24/7. He talked about the Father. He talked about union with God. He talked about setting the captives free. And then he demonstrated through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're not to be running around focusing on which demon and which name. It's gotten so specific. See, Satan is a specific strategist. And he will try to pin you down and tell you, well, if you don't get the name of this one. Now, if Holy Ghost tells you, because you are being led by the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If he's telling you there is a particular spirit and I want you to call that stupid thing out, you do it. But you don't make a rule about it. Oh, if I don't get every single name of every single spirit, I am not, this will person will not be set free. No, that's the way the enemy works. He says, if you don't tick every box, if you don't cross every T and dot every I, I've got you. And he's a liar. Because what happened? He was made a spectacle of already by Jesus Christ and his cross. So we don't run by his rules. God is the one we bow down to. He is the one we yield to. And he is the one that we submit to. It is not about how can a man, Christian, quote-unquote, humanism, how can we fulfill someone? This is why so many people will go to ministries. You know, people will come to me, and they've gone for years, to other ministries about, and this is not about an advertisement for me. This is just, I'm shock and horror. This is shock and awe for me. I cannot even believe it. People will come to me after going 20 years of different ministries and still being just as stuck or worse than they were when they started. How is that anything to do with God when Jesus Christ himself said, whom the Son set free is free indeed? It cannot be from God if you are still stuck. And one of the reasons they're still stuck is there's this false Christianity that says you've got to be nice, you've got to be sweet, you've got to be politically correct, you can't offend anybody, you can't say anything that would distress somebody. upset them. So what you do is you go by humanism. Well, I've got to do it the way these people say. I've got to do it in a way that makes everyone happy. Humanism is about human beings. Cut off from the supernatural truth that God is God and that we were made in His image. Even the ones that reject Him. So this nonsense has to stop. Recently, when I've had people that have needed ministry, and in some ways, sometimes it's emotional deliverance, sometimes it's from abuse, or whatever the issues are. It could be depression, it could be addictions. Do you know what I have found has been the most powerful? Not running around calling out their demons. I have found repentance transforms them overnight, and I mean literally overnight. Because when you repent and you fess up to God, you know what? I cared more about me than anybody else all these years because somebody hurt me when I was a child, or somebody hurt me even as an adult, or abuse just kept happening. It was a pattern that I got used to. And so I've allowed it to happen. And I just played victim. And I've been so self-absorbed that everyone else in my life didn't matter. And you confess that to God. And you say, I don't want any more of it. I'm going to give all of it to you, Lord. And you mean it. For it is through your heart, right? We believe in our heart. It's not that you just say it. It's not some kind of mental assent. It's not some kind of lip service. You mean it. I want out. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary. And I'm willing to give up all of me. Not Christian humanism. Let's see how I can fulfill myself. No, I'm going to give up all of me to you. And all of me is yours, Lord. And you do what you want, because you're the potter and I'm the clay. And you know what will happen? That person will be transformed overnight. And he will take over. And he will be the one at the helm of the ship directing you. Because what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Then he's the one driving. He's the one directing the ship. He's the one directing the course, not you. And that is what is so important. That is what is vital. Humanism says man at the helm, man in front, man on top, man before everything else. People find zeal very offensive. And so if you're actually expressing for, because the Holy Spirit has led you to express it, not because on your own back or your own decision, well, I don't like this, what's happening in the body, and I'm going to teach them a lesson. No, because he is zealous for God. He is zealous for the truth. He is zealous for righteousness. He is zealous for Christ. The Holy Ghost doesn't play games. And as we know, Jesus was zealous. It even says when he did turn those tables in the temple and he did make that whip of cords, when that happened, when he turned those tables, there even was a reference in the book of John about a specific scripture being fulfilled by his zealousness of when he saw the money changers in the temple and he saw what they were selling and buying. And we all know, even a lot of people of the world would know that scripture that says, "You've made my father's house a den of thieves." Now, the zeal that he was talking about, it said that he was zealous for God, zealous for his father's house. And zeal actually is related to jealousy, in specifically in the Hebrew. So it's that jealousy that God has for us. His zeal for us. Now, do we have zeal in return, or are we not just lukewarm? Are we compromised? Are we more interested in what we can accomplish than what he can accomplish? You will find it is so insidious that even people who are ardent for God, that are in love with him, will find themselves wanting to figure out how they're going to get someone healed, how they're going to heal themselves, how they're going to get this one delivered. How are they going to accomplish such and such a mission? Not because they're bad people. Because they've been taught that if you're not self-reliant, you're lazy, or if you're not into do-it-yourself Christianity, you're putting a burden on others or on God, as if he hasn't said, yield to me, submit to me, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's what he said. He didn't say, run around and find your own way and resist the devil. Devil loves you running around finding your own way. He's in that way. He says, yeah, go to this deliverance ministry. Now go to this healing one. Now go to this conference. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you might find it here. You might find the truth of God here. He loves that. You're so busy running around going everywhere other than God. Not only has he kept you busy and exhausted, he's gotten you disappointed, discouraged, and then sometimes that leads to depression. It's a mind game, and we have to stop it. If something in our body isn't healing personally, or something in our family isn't healing, we don't run around seeking everybody else's answer for what they did. Unless he says to you, go and speak to so-and-so, because they have some insight that you need. If he tells you, or go and pick up that book, or go and look at that DVD, if Holy Ghost tells you, and he will be that specific, because he knows exactly what's going to ring true for you. He made you, inward parts. But if he doesn't tell you, don't do it. You let Holy Ghost decide. And if your healing isn't happening, because this is often, you know, people get desperate. And he understands that. But I do know this about him. That if we're going to dictate how he does it, we will miss the gift and the promise he is attempting to give us. Because we've decided it must be given a certain way. It's like telling someone who's going to give you a gift, no, I want you to wrap it in this paper. I want you to put this kind of card on it. I want you to buy it at such and such store. That kind of ruins the whole idea of giving. We don't dictate to God. That's what humanism does. Humanism dictates to God and says, if I can't have it my way, then I'm not going to have it at all. That's the underlying thought. If he doesn't do it like this, it's not going to happen. Really? Wow, you really limited God now. How do you know how he's going to do it? I have seen people, you know, I'm ministering to, and they've come to me torn apart. I had somebody tell me recently, they had someone in doing, you know, they went to a deliverance ministry, they had the person ministered, whatever, and they were left with three demons. And I said, well, they got two, but the other three are there. I said, why did they let you go? If they knew the names of these demons, what, did they get tired? Was it dinner time? I mean, what's the deal? If you're that clever that you know the names, and that's supposed to be how you're supposed to do it, why did they leave him? This person was suicidal, among other things. And do you know what God did? Do you know how he ministered to this man? It just blew me away. He let him know his value in Christ. He spoke to his heart, and the man was crying. The man was in tears because he never thought he was valued. And Holy Ghost said to him through me, as you receive this truth and you receive the love of the Father, all of that's going to drop off. Because it can't coexist with love. There's no greater power. Now, if I had run in there and gone, okay, they've got a stronghold demon and its name is this, and I'm going to run in there and I'm going to, you know, bang on the door. And if I had done it in that way, maybe there'd be three more, and another three more. Satan loves to tell you stuff. Half the time, this stupid thing's not even in there. But he tells you. He makes people believe they're sick. He's had Holy Ghost several in the last, about three different people that it needed deliverance. He told me, and they had mental, quote-unquote, mental illness. They were labeled with it. He said, there's nothing wrong with her, or there's nothing wrong with him. He said, tell them from me, there's nothing wrong with you. I mean, that's the glory of God. And isn't that true? If Jesus took all our infirmities, all our diseases, all our anguish, all our grief, all our sorrows, what's wrong with us? Nothing. We just have to know it. And if there's something in the way, you know what's mostly in the way? Our lack of repentance. And this is not a guilt trip. It's how easy it is it to fess up to God and say, Daddy, you know what? Wow, I've held on to doubt for so many years that I thought it was a part of my makeup. And I thought you didn't love me. Gosh, am I sorry. I didn't even know I thought that. How could I think that of you with what you've done? Now I know you so well, or so much better than I did anyway. And okay, I didn't realize how faithful you were, even when I'm silly. Okay, I give that up. Clean me out. Take your scouring pad, Holy Ghost, and cleanse me. So I can't even live in doubt, even if I tried. And every temptation of the devil won't even work anymore to lie to me. In Jesus' name, just I'm yours. That's all. That's all. Not hours and days and months and years of someone else ministering to you who usually asks you for money. Hello? Can we get a grip here? Wake up, body. Wake up, bride. Let's do it. Ministry. Jesus never ran around asking for anybody for money. When he told 6,000 demons and that man who was across the Sea of Galilee to go, and then they said, oh, don't send us out, send us into the pigs. And he sent them into the pigs, and, you know, they went over the cliff. He didn't say, now, could you, now, sir, that you're well, can, I need a few denarius, you know, to get food. Really? Now, I'm not saying if someone is in genuine ministry, they shouldn't be supported, because it does scripturally say that. In fact, they should get double honor. But that has to come between you and God, telling you, look, I want you to donate to this person, or I want you to contribute to their ministry because they're honoring me. Great, go ahead and do it. Fine. If he doesn't tell you, don't do it. He says we're to give out of the abundance of that we have, so that when we're lacking, others can give to us out of their abundance. That's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8:14, I believe. It's either 1 or 2 Corinthians 8:14. So no guilt trips about giving. But yes, support those that are helping the body. It's important that we do that, because they won't be able to continue. So we're not denying that that's a valid thing to do. But it is not something that you make a business out of. For minor deliverance, it's $50. For major deliverance, three or more demons, it's $145. You know, that is not how it works. Or you run around kowtowing to how the people do it, and they're teaching you, this is what you do in deliverance. Now, you must do these steps. Really, Satan loves procedure. He loves you to do it a certain way, and if you miss one little thing, oh, guess what? That demon gets to stay. No, he doesn't. He was already defeated. You know all it is those stupid demons are stubborn, and they don't want to come out. And you know what the other side of it is? This will shock some people. The other side of it is sometimes people are holding on to them because they've got such a strong will, they don't want to let go. We had a recent one where we were praying for, this was a child who was a very strong-willed child. We were praying, and as she was talking and saying certain words, and there were words that didn't make sense for her age group or whatever, you could hear her saying, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. Well, we knew it was the demon. The demon's trying to get out, because all we're talking about is Jesus. They don't want to listen to that. But the child was consumed with self-will, because they'd learned that's how you negotiate through life. That's how you manipulate everybody. It finally left, but it wanted to go. She finally relented. So sometimes that's what's taking long, because our own will can be tied up with what it's been programming us to believe. And that might be, you know, that might sound a little bit intense or a little bit tricky, but it's not with Holy Ghost. You just keep saying, Holy Ghost, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do here? You know what I told this other person that came to me? This week has been like deliverance week. I've had people left, right, and center, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, all over the place, from all over the world. And what one of them said was that as I was talking to this man, Holy Ghost was making it very clear how simple Christianity is. This is how simple it is. I know nothing. He, God, knows everything. That's it. You come from that premise, you will be so safe, so clear, and so triumphant. Because you aren't pretending that you know more than God, which is what humanism is. Why would you need God if it's all about fulfilling man? So that is the simplest way. And anyone who's doing any kind of ministry, and I mean, we're all ministers, whether we're in the fivefold ministry or whether we're in it as a way of life, professional way of life, or whether we're called out into the fields, still, even if we're, moms at home with our children, or we own our own business, or we mow lawns, it really doesn't matter. You're a minister of reconciliation, man and God, man and God, man and God, which includes women and children, obviously. It doesn't matter. But I love this. When he said that this man got so free, I said, you know nothing, and Holy Ghost says, I know everything. And he laughed, because he's been trying to know everything, to be okay. Because everybody tells you, oh, you need to know about this is how deliverance ministry works, this is how prophecy works, this is how healing works, this is what you do when somebody is trapped in an addiction, this is what you do. No! Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? You know everything, I know nothing. He goes, well, with this one's got a strong little will, and they're fighting. You go, okay, and he tells you not to give up, just keep going. But it shouldn't be a automatic model. Okay, this kind of ministry, this kind of deliverance takes so and so many hours or so many years. There are people that have been in this stuff for years. What a waste of a Christian when they could be out setting the captives free as they're called, because what? The Spirit of the Lord has anointed them. They have the anointing himself living in them, and there they are running around as a victim for 25 years. That's what Satan does. That's why people are completely ineffectual in the body. And they don't want to, some of them don't want to be free. Or they're so caught in it, like I've seen recently. It's not like they really want to stay as victims, but they're so in love with that. They're so enmeshed in it, they don't even know that it's selfish. Until Holy Ghost confronts them. And although it stings, I mean, love stings sometimes. Man, that is the kind of love you want a brother or sister to have for you. The kind of love that's going to sting and set you free. Or would we prefer the politically correct Christianity that says, just love on them. I find a vomit when people say that. Love on them. What is that, from the 60s? What are we in, a love-in? Love them. Be loving. Okay. Love on them. I don't know who coined that one, but it's bandied around. And there's a sickening, sweet tag that goes with it. And it's not of God. We love because he is love and we're one with him. Now his love, just like if he chastens us, doesn't he? If we're his sons and daughters, he chastens us. And if you're called by him to give that message of chastening, then you must give it. Because that person, if you don't do that, this is if you have to be called by him to do it. You have to know Holy Ghost well enough to know that you're being called. But most of Christianity, most people in the body don't even know who he is. How are they going to know when he's talking to them? Because they're listening to so-and-so online, or they're listening to God TV, or they're running around to conferences everywhere. Let me see if I can get Holy Ghost. Let me see, oh, he's going to fall on me and drop on me, and I'm going to get tingles. As if that's him. He's the one who killed, let's just say the word, nobody likes this, killed two people for lying. Ananias and Sapphira. I don't think there were any tingles then. Let's admit who we're dealing with. God Almighty, who now indwells us. Loves us that much that he indwells us. And if we don't listen to him and we listen to humanism, which says what? Oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian humanist, which advocates, and this is their quote, self-fulfillment of man within the framework of Christian principles. That is such a filthy comment, a filthy statement. There can be no self-fulfillment of man based on Christian principles, because Christ said what? That we died and he lives. We don't belong to us anymore. So what the heck is my fulfillment have to do with anything? And the funny thing is, the amazing thing is, when you follow the call of God that he has on your life, you will be more fulfilled than you ever dreamed of with your little fancy pants ideas that you thought, oh, if I could do this, if I could do that, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't have been happy. That's why he kept you from it. You'd be happy doing what he made you for. Knitting you together in the inward parts. In your mother's womb. He made you for a specific reason. To fulfill his call, his will, his truth, his purpose. Which is a greater fulfillment than you'll ever have in any other way. But if people want to kowtow to humanism, go in their own way, they don't like it, oh, don't offend me, don't say anything that's too harsh, don't upset my sensibilities, then they will perish. And those harsh words that Holy Ghost sometimes delivers, when necessary and only when necessary, he's as tender as can be too. Far more tender than any of us could be. And we, those of us who know him, know that is true about him. When we are expecting to be slapped across the head because we've made a mistake or done something, he comes alongside. Because our heart is soft and repentant. He comes alongside and comforts us in a way that no human being ever could do. Such a fulfilling comfort. He draws us into himself and says, I know how you feel. I know you feel ashamed. I know you're embarrassed. I know you're hurt. Let's work this through together. When he chastens, even when he needs to chasten us, he doesn't forsake us or leave us. But he's in our faces. He loves us enough to be in our faces. I'd much rather have Holy Ghost in my face. Because you know what is amazing? It's not just about you. It's not, oh, this is a hard situation. Oh, I don't like it. Oh, these people are upsetting me. It's, all right, Lord, I don't know how to deal with it. I'm going to tear my hair out. If they say one more ridiculous, poor me thing, I am asking you to take over. You can ask him something so simple like this. It's from the book of Job. Everybody hates Job, but man, there's some amazing scriptures in there. About the spirit as well. One of the things that Job talks about is that God, even in the night, while you're sleeping, is protecting you from falling into the pit. And there's a scripture that says, open my ears and seal my, that he opens our ears and seals our instructions as we sleep and slumber to keep us from falling into the pit, to keep us from destruction. Isn't that amazing? At night, you're out to it. And I have prayed that on many occasions for myself and others. And I have found the power that you are inviting in of his presence, his mercy, his grace, his truth, we can transform not only you, but the other people that are involved in whatever that situation may be. Because he'll give you a whole new perspective. He might even shout at you. He's done it to me. Because we can be stubborn, and we can be willful, and we can be prideful, and we can mistake what we're doing, thinking we're doing the great thing for this person. When it's about us and how good we are, guess what? Humanism. When it's about him, you know everything, Lord. I know nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to be free. You won't even care what you did or didn't do for someone else. Say, in not just in a ministry context, say for your family, anyone, your neighbor. It won't be about, oh, you know what I did to so-and-so today? No, it'll be about, you know, I was so silly that I was trying to control everything, and you know what he told me? Get your hands off. You are not the solution. I am the solution, says Holy Ghost. I am. I am. I am the God I am. He is the only one that knows everything. The only one that's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I'm not. What in the world am I running around thinking I can do it all? That's called insanity. Thinking you're something you're not. Living in an illusion or a delusion. Now we're just going to go to 2 Timothy 3, 5, which is a scripture a lot of Christians know. It's not unknown to most of us. And he talks about, Paul in this scripture talks about those that basically claim they're Christians. They have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now this goes totally against the grain of PC Christianity, politically correct Christianity. You have to be nice to them. You have to forgive them. You have to forget them. Forget what they did. You have to be kind. You have to love on them. You have to do all these things. But what does he tell us to do? If they have a form of godliness, but lack the power thereof, they're denying the power of God. No, they look like Christians. They act like Christians. They say the right things. But when I say act, I don't mean their moral compass points towards Christ. I mean, they do the things that people say, oh, that's what Christians do. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't swear, they go to church on Sunday, they do their tithes, they, watch certain movies, all of that. So they have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Okay? And he goes on to say, now before that, he talks about men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. Now, is he talking about unbelievers? Because, then you can't be anywhere near unbelievers because they do all of that. No, he's talking about believers. Ones who could profess they are believers. Simply because you say it does not make you one. Or as my husband says often, just because there's a mouse in the cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. It's not your location, as opposed to real estate, location, 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 that does not mean anything to God. It's your heart. It's your internal truth in your heart. Have you given yourself to him? Do you live for him more than anyone else? That's what he's looking at. Not a form of godliness, not the external costume. But denying, if you deny its power, you're denying him. Because it's through Christ that we were transformed. Not through us, not through, this is the amazing deliverance ministry, this is a great healing ministry. Not through them, through God, through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. That is how it's done. Not by our methods. And when he says this in 6 of 2 Timothy 3, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. So the intention is to lead the body away from God and to lead them into the flesh again. And we know who is the only one that can keep us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's his promise. Go towards a particular ministry or a conference or a book or a DVD, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not what he said. We have to walk in the Spirit. Now in 7, he goes on to say, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That is the tragedy in the church. Always, give me another hit. Give me another DVD, another YouTube, another conference, another book. never coming to the knowledge of truth. How do we come to the knowledge of truth? By the Spirit of truth who lives in us. Not continually being busy trying to find truth in some other place or some other person, or in, which always is humanism, or in self-fulfillment, as if that is going to be the truth that's going to not only not satisfy you, that is going to be the truth that leads you to freedom. No. If we're going to know the truth that sets us free, we have to know Him, because He is that truth. And we can't pretend that we know more than God. Because if we do, we are in for perilous times, it says. There are perilous times coming. And as one of you had said, it look-alike Christians. See, and this is the part that is very difficult for a lot of Christians, because Christianity is based on love, true Christianity. So when someone is a look-alike Christian, I think that's a good way of putting it, and really of the apostate church, but everyone is telling you what you have to be nice to them and forgive them and forget what they did, but they are not His. They are truly not His, because they don't live as His. That's how you know, by their fruit. Sheep and wolves in sheep's clothing are not the people we are to be around and fellowship with. And we are certainly not to feel guilty when He says, from such as these, stay away from. Stay away from them. That's what God tells us to do. He doesn't say mingle and try to save them over and over. Now, if He specifically tells you about a particular person and says, this one will produce great fruit, but they need some assistance, and I want you to sow into them, then you do it. It's obedient to Him. But He will not run around telling you to try and help someone in the apostate church to fix them. Someone who really doesn't belong to Him and doesn't want to. That's why He says don't pray about that one sin that leads to death. In 1 John 5, He talks about there's a sin leading to death, and He says, I do not say to pray about such as this. People get all mixed up on what that means. That means denying Christ. And if you've already, it's in relation to the brethren, if you already have confessed Him, but you live anything but like Him, and you're playing games, or as they say, playing church, and you've pretended that He's your Lord, we're not to pray. That's shocking for us. How many times did Paul say that, you know, not just in one instance, yes, he said, deliver such a one to Satan for the devouring of his flesh. That was the man who was fornicating and no repentance in Corinthians. But he had several other people that he said, he didn't say deliver them to Satan, but he completely cast them out of the brethren because their doctrines were leavening the lump. And he said, have nothing to do with them. And we don't like that, because that's not love. That is God's love. He made a choice for everybody. He gave each one of us. He didn't make a choice, I'm sorry. He gave a choice to each one of us. He said, you are either on this side of the line or the other. My son and his cross is that dividing line. You choose. He gave everything for us to choose. Now, we can choose to be on one side or the other. And no one, this is what he really wants to get to. Because of this politically correct Christianity, because of humanism taking such a forefront in the church, be nice. It's all about you. It's about your call. It's about your destiny. It's about what's good for you. That's what's come into the church. Where is that? What do you say? Pick up your cross and follow me. What do you say? Let the dead bury the dead. People are even minimizing that. And then somehow explaining it away. Do we want to be with the dead? If we do, then we will be buried with them. Or do we want to be with life Himself and follow Him? Even when people will defame us, denounce us, persecute us, criticize us, are we willing to walk? Because what does it say? When He returns, Will he find faith? That's what he's talking about. Us. Will he find faith? Will there be anyone of faith that stood regardless of the attacks, regardless of persecution, regardless of reviling? He said that would all happen. He said, if you don't hate your mother, brother, sister, father, anybody, and not love me first, and that word hate, I know it's in the Hebrew and we didn't really should look it up, but it's in regards to putting him first. But he uses a very strong word for it. If you love them more than me, you're not fit to be my disciple. He makes that really clear. That's even for our children, for those of us that are mothers. And that's a hard one. We can't even imagine that. But we can't love them properly without him. He's making it clear, you must make a choice, even as a Christian. Now, you've made the choice originally to be born again, to say he's your Lord and Savior, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to be led by him. Now, every day is your choice. Who is going to come first in my life? Because it's not about your blood relatives. People are really hung up on that, and that is, Satan loves that. Flesh and blood, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. That's how he'll always use that against you. Yes, but I'm your flesh and blood. You have to treat me like this. God's no respecter of persons. Flesh and blood is not his world. The Spirit's his world. We don't belong to flesh and blood. We're one spirit with the Father. Flesh and blood has nothing to do with it. Yes, you can pray for your relatives. Yes, you can minister as he leads. But you are not owned by flesh and blood. You are owned by God Almighty. And you either allow him to be your owner and yield to him and walk his way, or you let everything and everyone else dictate to you. And there are, he said he came to bring division. Jesus Christ said that. There will be division. I came to bring a sword, division. The reconciling that he brought was between a man or a woman or a child and God. That's the reconciliation. We're not to be reconciled with darkness. We're not to be reconciled just because somebody claims that, oh, I'm flesh and blood, so therefore you have to bow down to me and relate to me and be nice to me. Even though I'm gonna pretend I'm a Christian. There's so many people that will pretend, you know, the pretend Christians, the apostate church, the bride, the false bride, the whore, whatever name we want to call her, that will claim, I'm a Christian, and I'm doing the principles, and they'll do it like it's a rule book, and now you have to forgive me. No. Forgiveness isn't a demand. It doesn't come from that place. It comes from our hearts. And forgiveness, especially for those who have hurt us deeply, and often it is the flesh and blood, our relatives that have hurt us the deepest, because they're around us the most, and know us the best, and know our idiosyncrasies and our Achilles heels, and they're the ones that will cut us the deepest. We often cannot forgive those. And we're not meant to do it by just lip service, saying, I forgive and forget. But inside, we're bitter, twisted, and hateful. But see, we look like a good Christian because we said the right words. Lip service Christianity is no Christianity at all. It's by the heart. Christianity is a way of life. Your heart is overtaken by God Almighty, and you live for him now. That's what we are as Christians. We belong to him. So if we can't forgive somebody who's horrifically betrayed us, whether they're flesh and blood or a neighbor, but let's use the model of flesh and blood, because as I said before, they're the ones that usually can hurt us the most. They're the closest to us. We have to admit it to him. We have to fess up and say, Daddy, nope, don't want to forgive them. I'm even looking at all the pictures in my mind and all the horrid things they did and the horrible times, how they hurt me, made me feel like I was nothing, put me on the shelf, mistreated me, mocked me, demeaned me, maybe abused me. I'm sorry. No, forgiveness isn't even there on my list. I can't even see it. I don't want to forgive them. I don't even like them. And if I wanted to forgive them, I wouldn't know how to start it. So I'll tell you what, Lord, This is what I can do. I can let you forgive them through me, because there is no other way. And He will. He will lift your burden in many instances instantly. The more yielded you are, the quicker it is. And you will be amazed. You're going, oh my gosh, I'm not having these horrible thoughts about that person. I don't hate him anymore. I don't want to kill him. Whatever it is that we felt, because we do have those thoughts, even as Christians, and we need to admit it to Him. Not as I'm confessing to the priest and I hope God forgives me. Not from there. Just, Lord, I know this isn't how you want me to be, but I can't stop it. And I need your help, because I know nothing and you know everything. And He will take it. Because forgiveness is a supernatural event. It happened on the cross. Power, such power. We couldn't be forgiven without what He did. And we can't forgive without giving it to Him. Because we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And we give that hardness and that hurt. We don't pretend it's not there. We don't do Christianese. Oh, well, I'll forgive them and forget it. No. We tell them the truth. I wish they never were born. If that's how you feel, you are honest with Him. My goodness, if we can't be honest with God, there's no point in having a relationship. We tell Him all of it. And we yield to Him. You're the solution, not me, Lord. If I'm going to try to be nice to these people that I hate, well, it's a ridiculous scenario. We're going to all fake it. And no one's going to get set free, because there is no freedom in pretense. So rather than that, I'll go to you, Lord, because you're the Spirit of liberty, Spirit of truth. You're not going to lie to me. I'm going to tell you everything that I've got, and I'm going to give it to you to deal with, because I don't know what to do with it. It's amazing how easy, people think this is like, oh, man, that sounds too easy. It's not too easy. It's hard, because people don't want to give in and admit their pride. They don't want to give up pride. Oh, heaven forbid I admit that I actually am a hateful person. No, just admit it. Tell me, He says. Tell me. I already know that it's hurting your heart and making you rotten. And I want you free. But you can't do it on your own. You don't even belong to you. You can do nothing without me. So what are you running around trying to do it for? That's how real Christianity is. It's not a game. It's a real relationship with the living God, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These three are one. Even that scripture. Do you know that scripture has so much controversy over it? There are people that say, well, it wasn't in the original scriptures, or it really didn't mean that, or they added it later. They hate it. It's hated that the Father, the Word, who came into the flesh as Jesus, and the Spirit are one. Why? Why is that so hated? Why would anyone want to deny that? Who is served by the denial of the one true God? Doesn't take long to figure it out. Who doesn't want us to be completely freed, filled, and walking in oneness with God? Our enemy. So he will denigrate God, he will dismiss God, he will marginalize God, he will say everything from he doesn't exist to you can have him and your cake and eat it too. No, actually you can't. Because that saying, having your cake and eat it too, means you want one thing and you want this other thing too. So you won't want to give up the thing you're keeping to get the other thing. But the only way you're going to get the other thing is by giving up the thing you're keeping. That's called salvation. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't rule your life and be His. It doesn't work. And as we're learning and growing up into all things in Christ, He's not running around with a tire iron bludgeoning us, saying, you stupid child, why didn't you figure that out? He's saying, look, just keep yielding, keep yielding. Every day you're going to know more. You're going to know more of me. You're going to know more of me. You're going to yield some more. You're going to get freer. You're going to be more in joy. And that's what I want, your freedom. So we're learning. If we're not there yet, we don't run around beating ourselves up or beating up other people. But when He tells us to give a hard word, we give it in faith. then he will do something with it, not because we think we're so important. I am going to tell the body off. No. Now, every single one of those words has to be measured. Is this you, Holy Ghost? Because if it's me, get rid of it. I don't want it. That's all you have to say. That's all he needs. In Jesus' name, be a guard over my mouth. Speak through me, Lord. Let no pride take over. Make me so humble that I don't even know what humility is. I just walk as the embodiment of it. In Jesus' name. What a prayer. He's just giving me now. That's how we need to walk. We don't even know there's a difference. You know, you're like, you're in shock when people say you're humble. You're like, huh? What? That's how it should be for us, those that belong to him.